The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Sota Daf Yudches, and we are on the top line of Daf Yudches Amud Aleph. Before we begin today's daf, just a little more raid with regards to the end of yesterday's daf. The Gemara on the bottom of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph mentioned that it was Bischar Sha'omar Avram Avinu Vanoichi Ofer Ve'echer Zochu Bonav Lebeis Mitzvahs Efer Paro Ve'ofer Soita. From there the Gemara digressed, as it often does, and said that Bischar Sha'omar Avram Avinu, two other things, in Michut Va'atzroich Na'al Zochu Bonav, again Lebeis Mitzvahs Chut Shalt Cheles Ve'ritzua Shalt Filin. So it was in the Schar that Avram Avinu said in Michut Va'atzroich Na'al that his grandchildren was zoicha to two mitzvahs, chut shel tcheles, or ritzua shel tefillin. So the simple reading of this Gemara would suggest that the reason we have a mitzvah to wear tzitzis is because Avram Avinu told Melech Stoim, I'm not interested in taking anything from you, I don't want you to be able to walk around saying, ani asharti es Avram, and because he specifically mentioned chut, it's for that reason that Hashem gave us a mitzvah that involves a chut, midah keneged midah. We have the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's yodua. The Re'eim, Rabbi Leo Mizrahi, in his Pirush on Chumash and Parshas Noach, asks a kasha on this Gemara. The context over there is in Parshas Noach, where the pasuk says that Noach and his sons leave the teva. Vayochel Noach ishu adama vayita karas. What's the first thing that Noach does? Chazal say osa atzmi chulin vayochel Noach, and he plants a vineyard, and from the vineyard came wine. And the pasuk says that Noach drank wine. Vayishkar. He became drunk. Vayiskal betoichahola. He's in his oil, and now he's undressed. It says the pasuk, Vayarcham avi kenan es ervas aviv. One of Noach's three sons, Cham, entered the oil, and he sees that his father, Noach, is in this compromised position. Vayaged, he goes outside, l'shneach avachotzi, tells his brothers. It says the pasuk, Vayikach shem vayefes es asimlo. So the other two brothers took a simla. Vayosimu ashchem shneem. They both went together. They put it on top of their father. Vayelchu achiran. They walked out of the room respectfully. Vayechasu eis erva saviem. They covered the erva of their father. Upnei machiranes the erva saviem loyro. Vayikatzach miyeno yoyin. Noach woke up. Vayedes ashlos lebnei katan. He realized what had happened to him, and he realized that it was his son Cham that had exposed him in this way and that tried embarrassing him. Vayoymer, and he famously said, "Or Kanan, may Kanan be cursed. Eved avodim yil achav. He should always be an eved to his brothers." Vayoymer and Yethes and Shem for. To the contrary, being respectful of Noach's honors, he gave them brachas. Baruch Hashem alekei Shem, v'hiknan eved lama, yafta likim liyefes, v'yishkin bo leshem. There's a real Hanukkah theme over here. V'hiknan eved lama, v'hichinoich achra mabul, etc., etc. So here you have the story of Noach, who is embarrassed, who's defiled on some level by his son Cham. Shem and Yefes, to the contrary, they are moicha, quietly, for the respect of their father. Chum gets cursed, and Shem v'Yefes, they both walk away with broth. The pasuk said, "Vayikach Shem v'Yefes es asimlo." Says Rashi, "Ein ksiv vayikchu, elo vayikach." It says vayikach, and really it's referring to something that two people did. Vayikach Shem v'Yefes, the proper grammar should be, "Vayikchu Shem v'Yefes." We learn from here, "Al Shem shenes amitz b'mitzvah yoysim v'Yefes." So you see that there was one of these two people, either Shem or Yefes, that was stronger and was more excited to do the mitzvah. It says Shem first, "Vayikach Shem." Thus, we learn from there that Shem was the ikar person that was doing the mitzvah. And say Chazal, "Lokach," it's for that reason, "Zachu Bonov L'tala Shal Tzitzis," that his grandchildren got a mitzvah, and what mitzvah did they get? They got the Tala Shal Tzitzis. V'yefez Zachu L'kfur L'var. He got something else. But says Rashi, that midah keneged midah, as a reward for the fact that Shem was nis'amet b'mitzvah, yoyser, he got a special mitzvah. The mitzvah was the mitzvah of tzitzis. Freik d'ra'em, you have a stira. We have a Gemara, Saita Yudzayin Amud Aleph, that says the white didn't get the mitzvah of tzitzis because Avram said, in chut v'atzroich nal. And here you have a Rashi that's quoting a chazal that says that the reason we got the mitzvah of tzitzis has nothing to do with the chut v'atzroich nal, but rather it was something that we got for Shem ben Noach. Shem was vayikach Shem v'yefes, and it's for that reason that we got it. Now, Poshin, you can answer that Shem had many grandchildren. Not all of Shem's descendants came from Avram. So the reason maybe that there's a mitzvah of tzitzis, that's because of what Shem did. But why did it end up with Zarah Shel Avram? Why did it end up with some other Shalshelas of his lineage? So that could be because Avram said, Michut Vatzreich Nal. Therefore, he was the one that was Zoicha to be the Enakel of Shem that's going to have the mitzvah of tzitzis. But the Re'im said a different teretz. The Re'im said that you have to say that if you look carefully at the Lashon HaGemara, Mesach Tesoito, the Lashon HaGemara is that it was because Avram said, Ichut Vatzreich Nal, Zochu Banu Lebeis Mitzvahs, Chut Shel Tcheles, Viritzua Shel Tfilin. The Lashon HaGemara is not they were Zoicha to the mitzvah of tzitzis. The Lashon HaGemara is they were Zoicha to the Chut of Tcheles. The mitzvah of Tcheles, which is a separate sub-mitzvah within the mitzvah of tzitzis. It says the Re'im, the Iker mitzvah of tzitzis that they got because of this Rashi and Parshas Noach. In Michut Vatzreich Nal is the reason they got the Hisofes mitzvah. It's the reason that Klai Yisrael got the mitzvah of Tcheles. Today we have the mitzvah of tzitzis, as we mentioned yesterday. For most of Klai Yisrael, there isn't a mitzvah of Tcheles. So there's the mitzvah of tzitzis l'chud, and there's the mitzvah of Tcheles l'chud. The Iker Schar, mitzvah of tzitzis, that's Rashi Parshas Noach. Our Gemara over here is talking specifically about the mitzvah of tchelos. But I heard, or really saw, from my good friend Levi Chomsky, he gave a shir once on this Re'im, and he sent me a transcript of the shir, and he brings a teretz from the Radal's Rebbe, Rab Shol Katzenelbergen, and he said a different teretz, also very meduyik in the Lashon of Chazal. He said it could be, if you look at the Lashon by us, is Michut Va'ad Tzroich Nal. It was because Avram said Chut, the Yidin was Zoicha to the Chut Shal Tcheles. If you look at Rashi's Lashon in Parshas Noach, Rashi's Lashon is Limed al Shem shen es amitz b'mitzvah yoyser miyefes lokach zochu bonov litalis shel tzitzis. Our Gemara emphasizes the chut shel tcheles. Rashi and Parshas Noach emphasizes the talis. So said Rav Shol Katzenelbergen, that's the teretz. The reason we got the mitzvah of the chutin, that's our Gemara, that's michut vatzorich. Now the reason we have the mitzvah of talis, that's Rashi and Parshas Noach. The talis is what covered Noach. It wasn't the chutim that covered Noach. It was the talis that governed Noach, and that's why we got the Mida Keneged Mida, we got a mitzvah of Talus as well. But Levi had a whole arichos, a very nice shir that he gave, which was that it would seem from the Teretz that the Talus of the Tzitzis is really a chelik of the mitzvah. It's a part of the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, which in itself is something that's not so pashut at all. Meaning, when you put on tzitzis, so tzitzis is a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. It's like a shofar, it's like a lulav, it's like an esrog, it's like a Chanukah menorah. It's not what we call Tashmishe Kedusha, it's what we call Tashmishe Mitzvah. It has some sort of Kedusha. And incidentally, although the Halacha and Shulchan Aruch is that Tashmishe Mitzvah Nizrokin, so after Sukkot, if you don't want your lulav, you're allowed to throw it in the garbage, albeit somewhat respectfully, you don't have to put it in Sheamus, you don't have to put it in a Geniza the same way you would a Pirat Tefillin, for example, that you're not using anymore, or certainly a Sefer Torah. It's not Tashmishe Kedusha, it's Tashmishe Mitzvah. However, the Mechaber in Simu Chof Aleph says that the only time Tashmishe Mitzvah is Nizrokin, that's only once it's possible, once you can't use it anymore. But if you could still use Tashmishe Mitzvah, there's certain halachas of Kedusha that you do have to be noyeg, even with Tashmishe Mitzvah. It's the first halach in Simchof Aleph in Aruch Hayim. So if we're going to say, based on this teretz, that the talus of the tzitzis is a chelik of the mitzvah, then it could come out a very big chiddush lahalacha, that just like you have to be noyeg, a certain kovet for the chutin of tzitzis, you maybe would have to be noyeg a certain kovet for the talus of the tzitzis as well, which is something that's really a big chiddush. One nice marimokim that he had on this topic, and that is a Rashi in Masechtas Bava Kama, Daf Tes Amud Beis. Rashi over there is quoting the Gemara that we've mentioned many times, the Gemara about Hidur Mitzvah. It's a Braisa, Masechtas Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lama Gimel, that we learn out from Zek Keli Vanveyu, the Iker Halach of Hidur Mitzvah. Now, the Lashon HaGemara that we have is that from Zek Kelev and there we learn Asay Lafon of Sukkana, Lulavna, Shefirna, Tzitzisna, Sefetirna, Vikosovai Lashmoy, Bidyoina, Vikumisna, Balavla, Umma, Vikarchabashoim, Noi. Rashi in Bavakamad of Tesla and Beis has a little bit of a different girsa. He takes, he omits certain things mentioned in our girsa of the Braisa, and he adds certain things as well. Rashi's Lashon is, Detanya, Zek Kelev and Veyo, Hisnai Lafon of Mitzvahs, Asay Lafon of Lulavna, Talisna, Tzitzisna, Adkan Loshin Rashi. Rashi adds Talis No. We don't have it in the Brayis of Masechta Shabbos. Rashi adds that Talis No is included in Zek Kelev Anveil. Now, if I ask you a question, is a mitzvah to put a mezuzah on a house? So does Zek Kelev Anveil say build the nicest house you could possibly build because Hidr Mitzvah? you'll be mahadu the mitzvah of mezuzah? Of course not. Because although the mitzvah is for the mezuzah to be on the house, but the hiddur mitzvah is chal on the mezuzah. It's not chal on the house. Or there's a mitzvah to make a makkah on top of your house. So make a beautiful house. It's like this. It'll be a hiddur for the mezuzah. No, there would be a hiddur perhaps to make a nice makkah because it's a mitzvah. So you want to make a nice makkah. But making a nice house so that the makkah will be mehudr doesn't make sense because the chefetz shel mitzvah is not the house. The chefetz shel mitzvah is the makkah. If Rashi says zeh keli ve'anveyu teaches me talis noy, it would seem to suggest that the talis is a chelik of the chefetz shel mitzvah, which would be a makar perhaps to this teretz to Reb Shaul, Katz and Elboygen. Either way, some nice raid over here with regards to why we need two makayris. For what exactly the reason Chazal got the mitzvah of tzitzis. Just one Hesafi brings at the end that he discussed this with Rav Moshe Shimon Shapiro Shlita, and he just told him with regards to this Rashi in Parashas Noach, that Rashi says that the reason the Yidden got the mitzvah of tzitzis was a reward for Shem ben Noach being sensitive to the honor of his father Noach, particularly as it related to the Mokim Erva. He says it could be the Midah Keneged Midah is that the mitzvah of tzitzis, like we mentioned yesterday, is Uri'isa Moisa, Yuschartem is called mitzvah Hashem, and through the Uri'isa Moisa, Veloisa Suru, Achri Lavavchem, Achri Nechem, the Gemara Menachis, Tafman Dal, the Keren Oira, some of the raid that we mentioned, that tzitzis has a special ability to protect against the Isuri Arayas. Why would that be the case? That's the Midah Keneged Midah. Shem went out of his way to protect the Mokim Erva of his father. As a result, Midah Keneged Midah, he got a mitzvah that for generations would always protect his grandchildren when it came to Inyoni Arayas. Just one final interesting thing. This is quite random. Interesting nonetheless. Vayar Chom Avi Kenan es Ervas Oviv. The Megadim Chadashim in Parshas Noach, he brings from the Chida and the Ramami Pano and the Ben Yehoyada, so all the Kabbalistic or quasi-Kabbalistic Sfarim, that they all say that we're familiar with Tevi, or Tavi, Eved Avraham, Eved Rabbi Gamliel. He's mentioned throughout Shas. Rabbi Gamliel had an Eved Kanani. His name was Tavi. Talmud Chacham. A lot of different things mentioned about Tavi, but he was an Eved Kanani. So the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that he was a Gilgal of Cham ben Noach. That's who he was. The Ben Yoyadim, Mesechtes Bavakama, the Fayandalam at base. The Gemara over there says that Maisab Rabbi Gamliel, Shasima is Ein Tavi Avdoi. That he made him blind. What's Talochi? You make your Eved Kanani blind. He goes home. Free. Says the Ben Yoyada, why did Tavi, the Eved Rabbi Gamliel, become blind? It's because he was a Gilgal of Cham ben Noach. And what was Cham's Avera? Vayar Cham, Avi Kanan es Ervas Aviv. His Avera was Vayar, Vayikach Shem, the Yefes es Asimlo, the Ervas Avim Loiro. Shem and Yefes were Loiro, Cham was Vayar Cham Avi Kanan. His Avera was Vayar, therefore he had to be Mesakin, his ri'iyah, his eyes, he came back down on this world as an eved to Rabbi Gamliel. Why an eved? He knan eved. So it was, he became an eved. This was Cham. That was the klala that he got from his father Noach. He comes back down as a gilgul neshama of Cham, dafka, as a suma. It's like this, he'll be masakin the vayar Cham. The Ben Yoyada adds that Tavi is oisius, tes, beis yud, which if you mix them around is yabet, to see. Again, it's merumis that he had to come down to be mechaper for the fact that vayar cham aviknan. Either way, on that note, one other thing before we saw the daf, just hit me. And that is a toisvis on daf yudzayin amid beis. The toisvis begins on daf yudzayin amid aleph, and it crosses over into daf yudzayin amid beis. And toisvis over there quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is discussing whether the kohen was allowed to write the Megillah Soita on the skin, the aura of a behemoth mea. So Yerushalmi brings that it's a machloikis. Amar Rav Shimon, mekivon de itmar le mechika nitna la meinei kaisa. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the Yerushalmi says that there's no reason you shouldn't be able to, because being that you're anyways going to erase it, so who cares if you write it on the aura of a behemoth tahira or the aura of a behemoth mea. Now the truth is, when it comes to chefta shal mitzvah, there is an idea of not using something that comes from a behemoth mea min hamuter beficha. So that's a halacha. But that's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai shita, that being that it's going to be used in the mechika, there's no reason not to. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamu in the Yerushalmi argues, he says, "Ein koisvan alaris bein mitmei. No, you're not allowed. That's a machlokes tano. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua says ain kois for alaris bein mitmei. Rabbi Shimon says kimin de itma lemechika nitna lo me ain kois. Says the Yerushalmi Tani. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon oimer. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says Rabbi Shimon by choyson. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon said roya ani es divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua me divrei abba. If you would ask me, I would be machria. I think the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, not like my father Rabbi Shimon by Yechai. It's a good segue from the first thing that we spoke about. Freiter Ashash. There's a halacha psuk in Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, right in the beginning of Hilchas Kibud Aveh. The Chabur says, Izeu Moira. What's the definition of having Yira for your father? So, lo yamid b'mkoyma, you shouldn't stand where he usually stands. V'lo yeshe b'mokam amyuchad, I'm skipping. V'lo yisoyser ezvar, you can't contradict your father. So if you're sinning, your father says something, you can't contradict what he says, even if you don't agree with what he said. V'lo yimachriya ezvar. Or if your father is having an argument with somebody else, you can't be machriya and say, I agree with him. You certainly can't say, I disagree with my father, because that's not covered. You're being soyser as dvarav. So freaked the Rashash, that how could Rabbi Elazar, say, royani as divi Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua mi divrei abo? He's being machriya, not like his father. And it's a halacha psuk of Shulchan Aruch. V'loy soyser as dvarav, you can't be machriya father. So you'll say, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says, v'loy soyser as dvarav, v'loy machriya as dvarav bifonov. You're not allowed to do it befanav. So, it's only befanav you're not allowed to do it. Maybe he wasn't befanav. But that's why you need to look in the Shach. The Shach says, V'loy soyser es dvarav, Ben she'cholikolav, Ben she'omer la'cholikolav, Nirin dvarecha, Havi soyser es dvarav, V'nira, De soyser dvarav, Oser av she'loy befanav. When the Mechaber said befanav, he's going dafka on being machriya, like your father. So if you're sinning and your father's arguing with somebody and you want to say your father's right, you don't even say your father's right because it's not covered. Because who are you to even have an opinion? You shouldn't say anything. That's something you just can't do befanav. Shalei befanav, you can agree with him. But to be soiser, to be machria, not like him, or to be soiser something that he's saying, that you can't even do shalei befanav. So even if Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon was shalei befnei his father when he said this, based on the psak aloch of the shach, it's something that would be awesome. That's Rashash's kash, and he blives sarachin right here in this Gemara. From this Yerushalmi on the Shach. Incidentally, if you look in the Bir Agra, the Goyan argues with the Shach. The Goyan says, "Befanav the Hamatzinu Shecholkin Alavim V'Rabim." You find throughout Shas that the word Talmidim that argued with their Rabbeim, where there's also a Halach of Yira, and there were sons that argued with their father. And the one example that he gives is Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. Who was Rebbe's father? Reb Shimon Gamliel. So you see, Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, they argue throughout Shas, right? Katlanis, Chazaka, two times, three times. It's Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. You find these machlokes throughout Shas between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. How are they allowed to argue? It's a father and a son. The Teret says the Gro is Befanov. They really didn't have that machlokes Befanov. They had the machlokes Shalei Befanov. But Befanov, Rebbe agreed to Reb Shimon Gamliel, maybe Chazaka's Begimel. It was Shalei Befanov that he held Chazaka's Beshtag. No, but either way, so Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, these machlokes that they all had, says the Gro was all Shalei Befanov. Shalei befanav, and chanami, it's going to be mutter. V'chein machrin, says the Goyen. So it's a machlokes shach and vilna Goyen, whether a son is allowed to be soiser his father, b'divrei Torah, shalei befanav. According to the Goyen, obviously, the Rashash's kash is not a kasha. The Rashash clearly is asking his kasha according to the shach that says that v'loi soiser is dvorav, is even shalei befanav. So how in this Yerushalmi, quoted by Tosfos, on yesterday's daf, could Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon say, Roya ani es divrei Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon me divrei abba? Either way, on that note, daf yud ches amud al. Zok the Mishnah, zok the Gemara. So the Gemara is continuing to discuss the halachas of writing the Megillah Sotah. Kosval shnei dafin. If the Kohen wrote the Megillah Sotah in two columns, so the way you say the Torah is written in columns, so he wrote two columns. One column, there's another column, psula. The halachas, it's possible. Because sefer echad amar rachmona, v'lo yishnayim v'shloish esfarim. It says sefer, and sefer means sefer echad, not two or three svarim. Two columns would be the equivalent of two svarim. Why are two columns the equivalent of two svarim? So it's not so clear. The mefarshim grapple with that, but that's the drasha. From sefer, we learn sefer echad amar rachmona, v'lo yishnayim v'shloish esfarim. Kosav v'is achas, umach ha'kos achas. What if the Kohen wrote the entire parsha saita, and then he erased the entire parsha saita? However, he never had the whole parsha in its entirety. He wrote a letter, and then he poured a little bit of water and erased it. Then he wrote another letter, and then he poured a little bit more water and erased it. So he wrote it all, he erased it all, but he didn't have one parsha for itself. Is it kosher? Is it going to be possible? So it says the Gemara Psula. The Chsiva Osala Koyin Es Kol HaTorah Azayis. Kol HaTorah Azayis implies that you need the whole parish in front of you at the same time. By Rava, Kasa Beis Megillah Sashtei Soitois. What if there were two Soitois in the Beis HaMikdash and they wrote two Megillahs for the two Soitois? Umachakon L'toich Kois Ach Echor. And then they took one Kois of this water that had the offer and the mayim from the kiyar, and they were moichek the two megillos with this one kois. What's the shayla? There's a halacha that the megillah had to be written lishma for each individual saita, and in this case you have that because you wrote two megillas for each individual saita. So do you say that's really all you need? The extent of lishma that you need in the parsha of Saita is Ksiva Lishma, and you have that. And I don't care how it plays out once you do the Mechika. Maybe you need that the Mechika should be Lishma as well. And being that you're using one Kais for both Saitas, there's going to be a Chasar in the Mechika Lishma. Now, it's not clear. Why would that be a Chasar in the Mechika Lishma? Why can't I use one Kais for two Saitas and have in mind Rachel and Leah? Why can't I have in mind both Nashim? So it's clear that Rashi was bothered by that. And if you look at Rashi, Mechika Nami be Kois lishma laatzma sheyehe nikker hamachika shehi lishma. Not that the chesaron would be that it can't be lishma if you're using one kois for two people. It just wouldn't be nikker that it's lishma. So if there's a halach of mechika lishma, you would also need that it should be nikker that it's lishma. And that's the shayla. Do you need mechika lishma? Thus, you need that it should be nikker lishma or not. Dimtim slavi b'dinam mechika lishma. And if you're going to tell me that you do need mechika lishma, machram beveis koisois v'chazav irvan mao. What if you wrote two megillas and you used two separate koisos to be meichik, and then afterwards you took the two koisos and you mixed them together? You turned them into one mao. Mechika lishma b'inan v'ha ika oidoma halavdi daka shasya v'alavdi daka shasya. So over here, the megillas were written separately and the mechika was also done separately. You got the Ksiva Lishma, you got the Mechika Lishma, you mixed it up on the shtiyah level. So when it came time to drink, they're both drinking out of one really big, tall glass. So the question is, do you need that each one should be drinking only their water that was used to be meichik der megillah, or there's no halach of lishma? It doesn't have to be my water. As long as I'm drinking mei saita, that's going to be enough. If you're going to tell me that, no, you need each saita should drink their individual water. So what if you had these two kaisais that were used to be meichik to two respective megillas? You mixed them together and then you divided them again. Yesh breira, oyei breira. Can we say that now we divided it again? Huvra adavol mafreya, that each soita is drinking their respective water or not? And the Gemara says teku. Tosfos says from the fact that the Gemara blives teku is a raya that this shayla of yesh breira or ein breira is not the regular shayla of yesh breira, ein breira, and shas. Because whether yesh breira, ein breira, and shas is not teku. Whether yesh breira, ein breira is something that's discussed at length, and there is a hachra, maybe a machleik is what the bottom line is, but it's not teku. It's not tishbi etaris kushes va'abayas. The Gemara is able to give zechanetzah with the sugya breira. Here the Gemara has tekos. If you look at this second Tosfos on the Yomid, there's a long Tosfos where Tosfos discusses that this shayla of yesh breira, ein breira, is not the typical shayla of yesh breira and ein breira that you find in shas. Ayin shom. But yirava, hishka besiv, ma'u, bishvayferes, ma'u. So these are two forms of primitive straws. So what if she drank it? She didn't just take it down, but rather she drank it from a straw. Is it okay? Is it considered Vishasa or not? What's the shayla? Derech shtiyah b'kach? Oyein derech shtiyah b'kach? Is it considered derech shtiyah or not? And here too, the Gemara says teiku. So just for a moment, I saw in the Sha'arim Mitzionim Mahalacha, he brings an interesting halachic discussion. It's a tshuva ready from the Shvus Yaakov. Wherever there's a mitzvah to drink, if somebody drinks from a straw, is he mekayim the mitzvah or not? So at first glance, it would seem to be a Gemara tucked away, soita, yud chesam et aleph, where the Gemara is discussing the shtia of the soita, and if she drank it with a shveiferes, whether or not that would be considered derech shtia bekach, or ain't derech shtia bekach. See, it's interesting, he brings that it could be with regards to dalut kaisis. That's one of the discussions. This is already the Sha'ar Mitzion and Balocha talking, not the Shvuz Yaakov. If somebody drinks the dalut kaisis with a straw, so he argues that it could be, it'd be okay. And even though in the Gemara it seems like it's a suffix and there's a teku, maybe it's not derech shtia bekach, he thinks you would be yoitza. He says, because dalut kaisis, you drink baseba. So you're leaning down, and we're not so good at haseba, because it's not really the way we sit. So you drink baseba, you're drinking a full cup, the wine ends up spilling on your kittel, etc. So it ends up getting a little bit messy. He says, in fact, it'd be a lot neater if you could use a straw. So he thinks that someone who's drinking the haseba, it may actually be more convenient and more derech shtia to use a straw. Now, to use a sippy cup or a bottle or some other form of shveferes, that's probably pushing it. But to use a straw in a martini glass? No, to use a straw, that's something that could certainly make a lot of sense. You could certainly argue that that would be derech shtia, because he says in a hospital, very often they'll give a chayla who can't bend up, they'll give him to drink in a straw. Why? Because it's just more convenient. Behaseba, it actually goes over better. So the idea is derech cheres, that's the spirit that we're trying to accomplish. So he argued that even according to the tzad of the Gemara, that to drink with a straw is ein derech shtia b'kach, could be in the context of dal kusis b'leila seder, maybe over there it would be okay. Either way, here the Gemara said, take away Rav Ashi, another shayla, nishpachu mehen, v'nishtairu mehen ma'u. What if a little bit of the water fell, so you don't have all the water, you filled up the chatzi log or the revias log, you mixed in the offer, you have the whole taruvas, and now part of it's, so you have some of it, you don't have all of it. Is it kosher or not? Do you need all the water, or you don't need all the water? Take. Why do we need two shvuos mentioned in the parasha of Seifas? So yesterday we went through the psukim in somewhat detail that discussed the fact that the kohen would force the woman to swear. But the Torah mentions the word shvua twice. It says, v'hishpia oisa ha-koyen v'omar alo isha and loishacha v'sh oisach, etc., etc. That's pasuk yutes in the parasha. And then pasuk chaval, if skip a pasuk, the following pasuk says, v'hishpia ha-koyen eso isha v'shvua sa'ala. So it mentions twice that the koyen made the woman swear. Now, at first glance, what's the koyen making the woman swear? He's making her swear that, in fact, she's tar. So in addition to her saying it, she has to swear it as well. Before she's going to drink from the Mei Soita, before we're going to go forward with this process, she's going to have to swear about her innocence. So she's going to have to claim her innocence under oath. Now, it's interesting that she never swears in the parish of Soita. What happens? V'shpia oisa ha-koyen. The koyen does all the talking. What does she say? At the very end of the parasha, v'amra isha, amen, amen. We'll see more about that in the next Mishnah. She just says amen, amen. In fact, we learn from here a very important halacha in Masechta Shavuos, and that is, kala oina amen, achara shvua, kilu moitze shvia v'pivda amen. It's as if he himself recited the shvua. Just like if you answer amen to a bracha, there's an idea of shemei ha-koyen. If somebody makes a shvua, and you answer amen achara shvua, it's as if you're the one that made the shvua. And what's the makar to that? What's the source to that halacha? Right here. Because we're talking about the shvua that this woman is going to recite, and she's never really saying a shvua. It's v'shpia oisa ha-koyen. All she's going to do is she's going to say amen, amen. But either way, it says twice in the parasha, v'shpia. The question is, why two times? So Amar Rav Zeira Amar Rav, Eish was Amaris B'Sayt Olama, said Rav, Achas Koidim Shenimchoka, Megillah, V'Achas La'Achas Shenimchoka. She swore once before they were Moichek, the Megillah Sefer, and then she swore again after they were Moichek. Freit, the Gemara, Maskev Rava, it's not true. Shavai Koidim Shenimchoka, Megillah Ksivan. If you look at the Seder Apsukim, assuming the Psukim are written in order, both of the shvuas are mentioned before we were meichig anything. So that's not a good teretz. Elo, my rabba, achas shvua sheyesh ima ola, v'achas shvua she'ein ima ola. The two shvuas are fundamentally different. One is just the regular shvuas bitoy. Swear that you were not mezana. The second one is, swear that you were not mezana, and if you were mezana, we include an ola. There's a klola, there's a curse of some sort that's going to be associated with the shvua. But the Gemara needs clarification. Heichidam yishvua sheyeshim ola. Explain to me a little better this idea of shvua sheyeshim ola. Amram. It's very simple. Mashpieni alayach shaloi nitmeis. I'm making you swear. Meaning, be mekabel shvua that you are mezana. Sheim nitmeis yevoyu bech. And additionally, if you were tamei, you are now going to be cursed. So Amar Rava, Rava said, why is that a shvua sheyesh ima Allah? Allah l'chuda kaima, v'shvua l'chuda kaima. Really what you're doing is you're swearing two things. She's swearing shalei netmei. She's also swearing, taking upon an oath that in the event that I'm tamei, I'm willing to accept yasa yisrani ka. Whatever's supposed to happen to me, I'm willing to accept. But it's not a shvua sheyesh ima Allah. The way Rav Amar was explaining it, it was that the reason there are two shvuas is because the shvuas are fundamentally different. It's the actual shvuah that's different. Where do you see two different shvuahs? I see two shvuahs bitui, swear twice, shalein et meis, and the second time, in addition to swearing, that she's not tummy, she's also being mekabel the Allah with a lashon shvuah. Ella, my Rava, so Rava said, mashpiano alayach, she'im netveis, yavayu bech. No, the lashon is, swear that if you're tummy, you'll be mekabel the Allah. Amar Rav Ashi, Allah ikish shvuah lekin, and there's no shvuah. All it is an Allah. She's just being mekabel the fact that if she's supposed to be cursed, she's willing to be cursed. Elam Ravashi, so Ravashi said, this is what Shvua Sheishim Ma'ola means. Mashbi'eni olayich shaloi nitmeis, ve'im nitmeis, not she'im nitmeis, ve'im nitmeis, yavayubech. So the first time she swears a regular Shvua, shaloi nitmeis, the second time she swears a Shvua, shaloi nitmeis, additionally she also swears, im nitmeis, yavayubech, she's being mekabel somehow with the emphasis of shvua that in the event that she is tameh, she's being mekabel any oinish that she is supposed to get. Either way, there's two shvuas. There's a shvua sheyeshi ma'ala, there's a shvua she'eni ma'ala. It's a little bit of a difficult idea, I think, to grasp the concept of a shvua on an ala. You're swearing, you're being mekabel the oinish somehow with the emphasis of shvua. For further analysis, you can take a look at the Brisker Rav in Sefer, in a letter that he wrote. There's the famous Mechtovim in the end of the Brisker Rav in Sefer. There's different letters that he wrote to different people. One of them is trying to understand clearly this idea of Shvua Sheyeshi Ma'ala, how the Koyin could be Mashpia such a Shvua, how exactly that works. So there's some real lumdus over there. Ayin Shav, Zokta Mishnah. So the Koyin was Mashpia, this woman, two Shvuas, Shvua Sheyeshi Ma'ala, Shvua She'eni Ma'ala, and she says, Amen, Amen. Va'amra Ha'isha, Amen, Amen. Says the Mishnah, Amahi Oimeres, Amen, Amen. Why'd she have to say Amen twice? Why couldn't she just say Amen once? Says the Mishnah, Amen Allah, Amen Allah Shvua. We just said it very clearly. There were two Shvuas. There was a Shvua Sheyeshi Ma'ala. There was a Shvua She'eni Ma'ala. There's the Shvua. There's the Allah. There's a few things going on. So she's saying, Amen, Amen, on both ideas, on both Shvuas, or on the Shvua and on the Allah. But the Mishnah continues, there's additional meaning in why she says Amen twice. Amen me ish zeh, Amen me ish acher. Not only is she swearing that she wasn't Tomei from this particular man with whom she had kinivistira, but she's saying that she wasn't Tomei with another man as well. Now, at first glance, what does another man have to do with this story? The reason the husband has an ability to make his wife swear is because that's the halacha of a safik soita, that if there was kinui and stira, so there's a gzeiras akasa, there's a parish in the Torah, he brings her up to the Beis HaMikdash, he makes her stand in front of the kohen, and he's allowed to make her swear. Generally speaking, if a husband suspects that his wife maybe was mezana, he doesn't have a right to bring her into the makom hamikdash v'shpi oisa kohen, drink this, and if you're guilty, boom. It doesn't work that way. It's very specific, this halacha, to the parasha of Soita. However, in the parasha of Soita, there's a tremendous chiddush that doesn't only apply to the parasha of Soita, but has ramifications throughout the entire Torah. And that is that once the kohen, or once the husband, is making his wife swear that she didn't become tummy to this man with whom there was kinyan and stira, once he has her swearing anyways, she's standing like this, she's ready to swear, you can throw in everything. You throw in the kitchen sink. And that's what we know as Gilgul Shvua. So once he's anywhere making her swear, now he can make her swear things that ordinarily he wouldn't be allowed to. And that's the Lashon Amen Va'amen. She's not just being Mekabel Shvua that she wasn't Tomei with this man. But now she's going to be Mekabel Shvua, Amen Meyesh Zeh, Amen Meyesh Acher. Not only did I not come Tomei with this man, but no one else either. Amen Shleisha Tisiya, Rusa V'Nesua. I wasn't Mezana, not when I was a Rusa, not when I was a in the event that this is a Yavam and a Yavama, so it's husband and wife, but it happened through Yibum, he could even make her swear that she didn't become Tomei while she was a Shemeres Yavam. Not just that, Amen, that I didn't become Tomei. So this is already referring to the second Shvua. This is already referring to the Shvua Sa Allah. Rameir takes it a step further. Rameir says, Amen Shaloi Netmesi, Amen Shaloi Etama. Not only that, he could even make her swear, Gilgul Shvua, that you won't become tummy in the future. And what's going to happen if she becomes tummy in the future? She's going to die. So right now, they can create some sort of scenario, chalois, that if she's mezana in a year from now, the Gemara will discuss it in greater detail, the mei soita that she drank now will come back to affect it. But either way, amen, amen, has many implications. Amen ala shvua, amen ala olo. And additionally, the whole Gilgal shvua, amen meish zeh, amen meish acher, etc. Tosfos Masechta Kedushin Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis asks, how could we learn out so many things from amen amen? Pasha, you think, amen amen, there's two things here. Ala shvua, or the Ikur shvua and the Gilgal shvua, but how you could learn so many different halachas from amen amen, so ayin sham, Tosfos Kedushin Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The other thing just worth mentioning is this idea of Gilgal shvua is not unique to Saita, but it's something that permeates Chesh Mishpat. So for example, a moide be mikzas ataina is yeshava. So if Ruin goes to the Shimon and he says, you owe me $1,000. He said, 500. So what's the halacha? He has to swear, shvua deiraisa. One of the three people that swears a shvua deiraisa, that he doesn't owe the other $500. If Reuven would go over to Shimon and say, you owe me $1,000, and Shimon would say, I don't owe you anything, so then the halacha is, there's no shvua deiraisa. There's a shvua derabanan, there's a shvua hesis. But on the deiraisa level, there'd be no shvua. So not every time somebody goes over to somebody else, makes a claim, can he force that person to swear shvua deiraisa? Very few times you can do that. Amayda b'miktsas is an example of that. However, the halach is that if Reuven's teveh Shimon, and Shimon's amayda b'miktsas, so Shimon's standing in Bezdin, and Shimon's now going to swear shvua deiraisa. Reuven now has an ability to be teveh Shimon to swear, even for things that he was maybe kaifer akoil, things that really ordinarily wouldn't have the ability to make him swear, because that's the halach of Gilgal shvua. Once you're swearing, I can make you swear other things as well. That's learned out from this halacha right here. Either way, the Mishnah continues, and the Mishnah says, HaKoyl Shavim, meaning, according to the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, it's Halach of Gilgal Shvua, but only on things that happened in the past. Rameir was Mechadesh, Amen Shalei Netmesi, Amen Shalei Yitama. That you could even do Gilgal Shvua for something that may happen in the future. However, HaKoyl Shavim, everybody agrees, She'ei Masne Imo, Loi HaKoyden Shetasaris, you can't make her swear that she was a mezana before she got married, v'loy al achashet esgarish, or according to Rameir, you can't make a swear that you will not be mezana after you get divorced. Because at that point, she's not married. So she, in theory, klapi, this husband, can do what she wants. She has isurim, pani abba, pnuya, etc. But as it relates to this husband, he's not a balabas on what she does before they're married or after they're divorced. As a result, it doesn't fall into this halacha of Gilgal Shvua. Nistro le'echot, v'nitmas, v'achakach echzira, lo'y hoya, mas ne'ima. Additionally, you can't be mashpia her, al yudei Gilgal Shvua, for a situation where she'll be mezana after you divorce her, and then later you will remarry her. Doesn't matter. The fact that you're going to remarry her in the future still doesn't negate the fact that if she was mezana at a time when she wasn't under your rishus, she wasn't married to you, that znus can't play itself out at all in this halacha. So it is a klal, kol sheti boya v'leitei asura loy, lehoye masnima. You could be megagal a shvua that tell her, make her swear that she won't be mezana at a time where if she's mezana, she'll be asur to you. But if it's going to be a time where if she's mezana, she's not going to be asur to you, in that context, that bia can't relate at all to this halacha of Saita, to this halacha of Gilgal Shvua. Amar Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna said, Yevamis Digit Gemara right here. Very brief. Shemeres Yavam Shezinsa, Asura Liyabma, Shemeres Yavam. So Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven dies without children. He leaves over a wife. Shimon has a mitzvah to do either Yibam or Chalitza with Reuven's wife. While this Yibam or Chalitza are pending, meaning up before Shimon does either Yibam or Chalitza, Reuven's wife has the halachic status of a Shemeres Yavam. A Shemeres Yavam is not allowed to marry anybody. Leisiyah Isres Hametz Hachutza Leishzar. She has to wait around for Shimon to either consummate this bond that they have, known in Yevamis vernacular as Zika, or terminate this bond that they have as by doing Chalitza. So during this quasi-state, while she's a Shemeres Yavam, says Rav Amnuna, Shezinso, if she was Mezana, so she was over the Loisasei of Loisia, Esha Sametsa Chutza Lizar, Asurili Yavma, she'll become Asa for her husband, to her Yavam. Meaning, just like an Isha's Ish that's Mezana Tachas Baila becomes Asa to her husband, that's the whole theme of Masechta Saita, so too a Shemeres Yavam that's Mezana becomes Asa to her Yavam. How do I know that, says Rav Amnuna, Mimai? I know from this Mishnah, because me, Diktani Shemeres Yavam Bechnusa, it said in the Mishnah that a husband and a wife wife, who became husband and wife, through Yibum, in the event that she was a Safik Saita, and she's now standing in the Makom HaMikdash, Vishpia Yisak Kayin, says the Mishnah, you could do Gilgal Shvua. You can make her swear that she was a Mizana while she was a Shemeres Yov. Says the Gemara, I Amrit Bishloim Asira, Bishloim, if the halacha is, that if she was Mizana while she was a Shemeres Yov, she becomes Asur to her husband, a Gishmaki Gemara, Mishamachi Masnavada. That's why he can throw this into his Gilgal Shvua. Eli Amrit Lo Yasira, but if you're going to tell me she doesn't become Asur, Bada, Vatanan, the Mishnah says, Aklal, Kol Shiluti Boil, Veloite Asura, Loi Loi Hoya Masnima. The rule of the Mishnah was that you could be Magalgal or Shvua, Shaloinit Meis, for a time that if she was Mizana, she'll be Asur to her husband. So from the fact that you could be Magalgal, the Tkufa of Shemeres Yavam, Zoyse Meres, Shemeres Yavam Shezinsa, Asura Li Yavma, very Gishmaka, Raya to a very big Kiddush. That's what Rav Amnuna said. Says the Gemara, Amri Barava, but Eretz Yisrael, they heard Rav Amnuna's piece, and they said, Lei Suchas like Rav Amnuna. The Aloch is not like Rav Amnuna. Ela Hodik Tani Shemeres Yavam Viknuso. I, Rav Amnuna seemed to have a great Raya. Hamani Rabbi Akivi. No, the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva, which incidentally, Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir Alibida Rabbi Akiva. Akiva was called Rabbi Akiva Stimta. Hamani Rabbi Akiva Hida Omar Ein Kedushin Toivsin Bechai Veilavin. Umash Vilo Ke'erv. Rabbi Akiva Shita is Kedushin Toivsin Bechai Veilavin. And if somebody's born a Chai Veilavin and has a child, the child's going to be a mamzer. So in Rabbi Akiva's world, the Chai Veilavin is as chomor as a Chai Veikrisos. So according to him, it makes a lot of sense that a Shemeres Yavam, that's Mizana Tachas Yavama, should be also to the Yavam. Just like an Eishes Ish, that's Mizana Tachas Baila, becomes also to her husband. Because although the Eishes Ish is Karis, and the Shemeres Yavam is only Malkus, but in Rabbi Akiva's world, Chai Veilavin is very much like Chai Veikrisos. So Enochanami, you have a Raya that the Tana, the Mishnah, holds that a Shemeres Yavam, that's Mizana Tachas Yavama, is Osir Liyavama. But the time of the Mishnah Rabbi Akiva, thus you have no raya to what the Shita Zachachomim is going to be. By Rabbi Yirmiyo, Maushi Yasna Adam al Nasun Harishayna. What if Reuven married Leah, he divorced her, and then he remarried her? And in the second marriage, she's a Safik Soita. Could he now be Magalgul Shfua for something that happened in their first marriage? Or, additionally, al Nasuye Achiv Mao. What if Shimon married Leah via Yibo? Leah was once married to Shimon's brother Reuven. Reuven died without children, Shimon was Meyabim her, and now in this second marriage, this Yibum, she became a Safik Soita. Could he be Megalgal Shvua for a Tumah that she may have done while she was married to Shimon's brother Reuven? Says the Gemara Tashma, very simple, Zeaklal, Kol Sheti Boil, Veloite Asura Loi, Loi Haya Masna Ima, Asira, Hakanami the Master, Shma Mina, that's the rule of thumb of the Mishnah, very simple. Would she have been Asur to him right now if she was Mizana in the first marriage? The answer is yes. Would she have been Asur to Shimon? Had she been Mizana Tacha Shimon's brother Reuven? The answer is yes. Why? Because then she would be a Tsaras Soita, or a Soita herself. And what's the halacha? Tumak Sivakarayas. So in either one of those cases, if she was Mizana in the first marriage, she'd be Aser right now. And being that if she would be Aser right now, the rule of the Mishnah is Zeaklal, Kol Shet Yibav, Letei Asru Loi Loi Masnima. But if she would be Aser, Hoya Masna Ima. So just before we conclude, we mentioned over here, Al Mahi Oimeres Omein Omein. So the woman listens to the four psukim of Shvuas and Olas that the Kohen tells her, Va'omra Ha'ish, and she just says two words, Omein Omein. So she says the word Omein twice. This is an interesting halachic discussion with regards to regular bracha. Somebody hears a bracha. Could you say amen, amen? So this woman said amen, amen. So just to end on a lighter note, somebody hears a bracha. Could you say the word amen twice? That's a Ramah. The halacha is in Simin Samach Aleph and Hilchas Kriyashma. The context over there is not saying things multiple times. Somebody says Shema Shema, Moedim Moedim, it's a Mishnah, Brachas, Shab in Megillah. So you're not allowed to repeat yourself. Why? Because it looks like Shtei Rishuyos. It sounds like Shema Shema. Who are you talking to? One Hashem. So why are you saying the word Shema twice? So it falls under the gather of Shtei Rishuyos, Havei Dezara. It's a very bad thing. Chazal spoke very, very harshly against people that repeat themselves because of this idea. Says the Rambam, Yeshayimrim, Sheyesh li Zoer, Shalei La'anois, Al Shum Bracha, Beis Pamim Amen. Incidentally, the Machaber over there is talking about the minig that we have on Yom Kippur by Ne'ilah, that we say Hashem Hu Elikim. So apparently there were those that questioned the minig. And the Machaber says, Minig Kasheru. Again, if you're not supposed to say Shema twice, why are you saying Hashem Hu Elikim seven times? But on that, Ramah says, Yesh oimrim sheyesh li zo'er shalei la'anois al shum bracha beis pamim amen. You should not say amen twice on a bracha. And if you look at the Bir HaGra, b'lashoinoi hazav, and it's not always easy to know what exactly the Gra means. But I'll read to you the Gra. Taimoi, what's the makar to the Ramah? Not to say the word amen twice. Mimasha amra, amen, amen. From the fact that the Soita said amen, amen, and we darshan amen me ishze, amen me ishach. That's the Gra. What does the Gra mean? I think what the Gra means to say is that how did Chazal know that the amen, amen was referring to two different things? Amen mishze, amen mish acher, amen on the Shvua, amen on the Allah. Maybe she said amen, umayn v'umayn, right? After a nice drasha, at Bias Girl said, umayn v'umayn. So maybe that's what she meant to say. She meant to say amen twice. Says the Gra, Zoysay Meres, that you can't just say amen twice. That's the Makar to the Ramah. And if she said amen twice, she obviously meant two things. Because if she didn't mean two things, how did Chazal know? How could she say amen twice? If you look at the Magen Avraham brings that the Beis Yosef, in Beis Yosef, argues with this halacha, and he says it's not a problem, and his ray is, because you do find this nusach, amen ve'amen. Baruch Hashem alakei Yisrael, amen ve'amen. It's an end of capital mem aleph. That's what he brings in Tehillim. That's where you find that lashon, amen ve'amen. And if amen ve'amen works, then there's no reason amen, amen shouldn't work either. Then he brings from Rabbeinu Bechaya, that if somebody says amen twice, and he has the right kavanah. So not only that, it's actually something that could potentially be a very good thing. So what's the bottom line? What's the halacha l'maisa? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah brings as follows. It brings this Ramah, that you shouldn't say amen, amen, the gam zem mechzik shtei reshuyos, because of this shtei reshuyos isra. Va'ayim b'mogen Avram shemekel b'dover. Look at the Mogen Avram, he quotes this Beis Yosef, who's mekel. Avol achreinim eskimu l'asar, but achreinim agree that it's really asar. Says the Mishnah Berurah, v'im hu oimer amen v'amen, shari, k'dechsev baruch Hashem le'olam, amen v'amen. Meaning the Mishnah Berurah is agreeing that amen v'amen works. That's not mechzik shtei reshuyos. Amen ve'amen. It's just whether from the fact that you could say amen ve'amen is a raya that you could also say amen amen. That's where he's arguing. But then he brings, I am the prima goddam, shekasav dover chadosh bazeh. Vahu. The eshtrei gavni amen. There's two dinim in amen. There's two definitions to the word amen. Echad sh'ani maminu mechazik shekenu emes. The pashut meaning of amen is, you hear a brach, amen, I agree, yes. Ditto. I acknowledge that. Vahasheni shehu pirish shel bakasha. It's a element of bakasha. Rotzo loymar sheye omnu hadvarim v'yemale nishale seno. Like my grandmother used to say, halavai amen. It should be that way. To the contrary, somebody says a tefillah, you say, amen, yeah, vada. I want that same tefillah. So it says the Pirim Agadim, bebrocha sheyesh boshnei inyonim, a brocha that has two inyonim, al derech mashal, rifa'enu asher v'nei rofe. Which is a tefillah, it's a bakasha, that may all the chaylim have a refuah. And then you conclude with a shvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is a roifei chayle, Sama Yisrael, shaper, yesh loymar, beis pamim amen. Then over there, it's poshet that you'd be able to do it. Then the Mishnah Berurah over here, and later in Siman Kuf Chaf Dalet, he brings from the Chidah, that this is all if you want to say amen twice for one bracha. But what if a person has two brachas? So you're standing, you hear bracha, yeah, you're a kaddish, and you hear this, and you're holding a three minyanim at the same time, where you hear two brachas at the same time. So then the Chidah says, it's poshet for two brachas at the same time, avada, you can't say, amen, amen.